I made him blush a little when I got over him that way, when I unbuttoned him and took his out and drew back the skin. It had a kind of eye in it. They're all buttons, men, down the middle on the wrong side of them. Molly, darling, he called me. What was his name? Jack, Joe, Harry Mulvey, was it? Yes, I think a lieutenant. He was rather fair. He had a laughing kind of a voice. So I went round to the what-you-call-it. Everything was what-you-call-it. Mustache, had he? He said he'd come back. Lord, it's just like yesterday to me, and if I was married, he'd do it to me, and I promised him, yes, faithfully, I'd let him block me now. Flying. Perhaps he's dead, or killed, or a captain, or admiral. It's nearly 20 years. If I said Fortree Cove, he would. If he came up behind me and put his hands over my eyes to guess who, I might recognise him. He's young still, about 40. Perhaps he's married some girl on the Blackwater and is quite changed. They all do. They haven't half the character a woman has. She little knows what I did with her beloved husband before he ever dreamt of her, in broad daylight too, in the sight of the whole world, you might say. They could have put an article about it in the Chronicle. I was a bit wild after. When I blew out the old bag the biscuits were in from Benedy Brothers and exploded it, Lord, what a bang! All the woodcocks and pigeons screaming. Coming back the same way that we went over Middle Hill, round by the old guardhouse and the Jews' burial place, pretending to read out the Hebrew on them, I wanted to fire his pistol. He said he hadn't one. He didn't know what to make of me, with his peak cap on that he always wore crooked as often as I settled it straight. HMS Calypso, swinging my hat, that old bishop that spoke off the altar, his long preach about woman's higher functions, about girls now riding the bicycle and wearing peak caps, and the new woman bloomers. God send him sense and me more money. I suppose they're called after him. I never thought that would be my name, Bloom, when I used to write it in print to see how it looked on a visiting card or practising for the butcher. And oblige, M. Bloom. You're looking blooming, Josie used to say after I married him. Well, it's better than Breen or Briggs. Does Brig. Or those awful names with bottom in them. Mrs. Ramsbottom or some other kind of a bottom. Mulvey I wouldn't go mad about, either. Or suppose I divorced him. Mrs. Boylan, my mother, whoever she was, might have given me a nicer name, the Lord knows, after the lovely one she had. Lunita Laredo, the fun we had running along Willis Road to Europa Point, twisting in and out, all round the other side of Jersey. They were shaking and dancing about in my blouse like Millie's little ones. Now, when she runs up the stairs, I loved looking down at them. I was jumping up at the pepper trees and the white poplars, pulling the leaves off and throwing them at him. He went to India. He was to write. The voyages those men have to make to the ends of the world and back. It's the least they might get a squeeze or two at a woman while they can, going out to be drowned or blown up somewhere. I went up Windmill Hill to the flats that Sunday morning with Captain Rubio's, that was. Dead spyglass like the sentry had. He said he'd have one or two from on board. I wore that frock from the Beaumarchais Paris and the coral necklace, the straits shining. I could see over to Morocco, almost the Bay of Tangier, white, and the Atlas Mountain with snow on it, and the straits like a river so clear. Harry, Molly, darling, I was thinking of him on the sea all the time after, at mass, when my petticoat began to slip down at the elevation. Weeks and weeks I kept the handkerchief under my pillow for the smell of him. There was no decent perfume to be got in that Gibraltar, or in that cheap Peau d'Espagne that faded and left a stink on you. More than anything else, I wanted to give him a memento. He gave me that clumsy clatter ring for luck that I gave Gardner going to South Africa, where those Boers killed him with their war and fever. But they were well beaten all the same, as if it brought its bad luck with it, like an opal or pearl. Still, it must have been pure 18-carat gold, because it was very heavy. But what could you get in a place like that? The sand frog shower from Africa, and that derelict ship that came up to the harbour. Marie, the Marie, what you call it. No, he hadn't a moustache. That was Gardner. Yes, I can see his face clean-shaven. Frong, that train again, weeping tone once in the dear dead days beyond recall. Close my eyes, breath my lips forward, kiss, sad look, eyes open, piano air o'er the world the mists began. I hate that ist's beg. Comes love's sweet song. I'll let that out full when I get in front of the footlights again. Kathleen Kearney and her lot of squealers. Missed this, missed that, missed the other lot of sparrow farts. Getting around, talking about politics they know as much about as my backside. Anything in the world to make themselves some way interesting. Irish homemade beauties. Soldier's daughter, am I? Aye, and whose are you? Bootmakers and publicans. I beg your pardon, coach. I thought you were a wheelbarrow. They'd die down dead off their feet if ever they got a chance of walking down the Alameda on an officer's arm like me on the band night. My eyes flash, my bust that they haven't. Passion. God help their poor head. I knew more about men and life when I was 15 than they'll all know at 50. They don't know how to sing a song like that. Gardner said no man could look at my mouth and teeth smiling like that and not think of it. I was afraid he mightn't like my accent, forced he so English. All father left me in spite of his stamps. I've my mother's eyes and figure. Anyhow, he always said they're so snotty about themselves, some of those cads. He wasn't a bit like that. He was dead gone on my lips. Let them get a husband first that's fit to be looked at, and a daughter like mine. Or see if they can excite a swell with money that can pick and choose whoever he wants, like Boylan, to do it 4 or 5 times, locked in each other's arms. Or The Voice, either. I could have been a prima donna, only I married him. Comes love's old, deep down, chin back, not too much, make it double. My lady's bower is too long for an encore. About the moated grange at twilight and vaunted rooms. Yes. I'll sing Winds That Blow from the South that he gave after the choir stairs performance. I'll change that lace on my black dress to show off my bubs. And I'll, yes, by God, I'll get that big fan mended, make them burst with envy. My hole is itching me. Always when I think of him, I feel I want to. I feel some wind in me. Better go easy, not wake him. Have him at it again, slobbering after washing every bit of myself, back, belly and sides. If we had even a bath itself, or my own room anyway. I wish he'd sleep in some bed by himself with his cold feet on me. Give us room even to let a fart. God, or do the least thing better. Yes, hold them like that a bit on my side, piano. Quietly, sweet. There's that train far away, pianissimo. One more song. That was a relief. Wherever you be, let your wind go free. Who knows if that pork chop I took with my cup of tea after was quite good with the heat. I couldn't smell anything off it. I'm sure that queer-looking man in the pork butcher's is a great rogue. I hope that lamp is not smoking. Fill my nose up with smuts. Better than having him leaving the gas on all night. I couldn't rest easy in my bed in Gibraltar, even getting up to see. Why am I so damn nervous about that, though? I like it in the winter. It's more company. Oh, Lord, it was rotten cold, too, that winter when I was only about 10. Was I? Yes. I had the big doll with all the funny clothes, dressing her up and undressing, that icy wind skeeting across from those mountains, the something Nevada, Sierra Nevada, standing at the fire with the little bit of a short shift I had up to heat myself. I loved dancing about in it, then make a race back into bed. I'm sure that fellow opposite used to be there the whole time watching with the lights out in the summer, and I in my skin hopping around. I used to love myself, then stripped at the washstand, dabbing and creaming. Only when it came to the chamber performance, I put out the light, too, so then there were two of us. Goodbye to my sleep for this night, anyhow. I hope he's not going to get in with those medicals, leading him astray to imagine he's young again, coming in at 4 in the morning, it must be, if not more. Still, he had the manners not to wake me. What do they find to gabber about all night, squandering money and getting drunker and drunker. Couldn't they drink water? Then he starts giving us his orders for eggs and tea and Findon Haddie and hot butter toast. I suppose we'll have him sitting up like the king of the country, pumping the wrong end of the spoon up and down in his egg, wherever he learnt that from. And I love to hear him falling up the stairs of a morning with the cups rattling on the tray, and then play with the cat. She rubs up against you for her own sake. I wonder how she flees. She's as bad as a woman, always licking and lecking, but I hate their claws. I wonder, do they see anything that we can't? Staring like that when she sits at the top of the stairs so long, and listening as I wait, always. What a robber, too, that lovely fresh place I bought. I think I'll get a bit of fish tomorrow, or today. Is it Friday? Yes, I will. With some blancmange with black currant jam, like long ago. Not those 2-pound pots of mixed plum and apple from the London and Newcastle. Williams and Woods goes twice as far. Only for the bones, I hate those eels. Cod, yes, I'll get a nice piece of cod. I'm always getting enough for 3, forgetting. Anyway, I'm sick of that everlasting butcher's meat from Buckley's, lime chops and leg beef and rib steak and scrag of mutton and calf's pluck. The very name is enough. Or a picnic. Suppose we all gave 5 shillings each, and or let him pay it, and invite some other women for him. Who? Mrs. Fleming. And drove out to the Furry Glen, or the strawberry beds. We'd have him examining all the horse's toenails first, like he does with the leathers. No, not with Bylan there. Yes, with some cold veal and ham, mixed sandwiches. There are little houses down at the bottom of the banks there, on purpose. But it's as hot as blazes, he says. Not a bank holiday, anyhow. I hate those Rock of Mary Ann cold boxes out for the day. Which Monday is a cursed day, too. No wonder that bee bit him. Better the seaside. But I'd never again in this life get into a boat with him after him at Bray telling the boatman he knew how to row. If anyone asked, could he ride the steeplechase for the Gold Cup, he'd say yes. Then it came on to get rough. The old thing croaketting about and the weight all down my side, telling me pull the right reins, now pull the left, and the tide all swamping in, floods in through the bottom, and his oar slipping out of the stirrup. It's a mercy we weren't all drowned. He can swim, of course. Me? No. There's no danger whatsoever. Keep yourself calm. In his flannel trousers. I'd like to have tattered them down off him before all the people and give him what that one calls flagellate, till he was black and blue. Do him all the good in the world. Only for that long-nosed chap, I don't know who he is, with that other beauty, Burke, out of the City Arms Hotel, was there, spying around as usual, on the slip always, where he wasn't wanted. If there was a row on, you'd vomit a better face. There was no love lost between us, that's one consolation. I wonder what kind is that book he brought me, Sweets of Sin by a Gentleman of Fashion, some other Mr. de Cock. I suppose the people gave him that nickname, going about with his tube from one woman to another. I couldn't even change my new white shoes, all ruined with the salt water, and the hat I had with that feather, all blowy and tossed on me. How annoying and provoking, because the smell of the sea excited me. Of course the sardines and the bream in Catalan Bay round the back of the rock, they were fine, all silver in the fishermen's baskets. Old Luigi, near 100, they said came from Genoa, and the tall old chap with the earrings. I don't like a man you have to climb up to get at. I suppose they're all dead and rotten long ago. Besides, I don't like being alone in this big barracks of a place at night. I suppose I'll have to put up with it. I never brought a bit of salt in, even when we moved in the confusion. Musical academy he was going to make on the first floor drawing room with the brass plate, or Bloom's private hotel, he suggested. Go and ruin himself altogether the way his father did down in Ennis, like all the things he told father he was going to do, and me. But I saw through him, telling me all the lovely places we could go for the honeymoon. Venice by moonlight, with the gondolas, and the Lake of Como he had a picture cut out of some paper of, and mandolines and lanterns. Oh, how nice, I said. Whatever I liked he was going to do, immediately if not sooner. Will you be my man? Will you carry my can? He ought to get a leather medal with a putty rim for all the plans he invents, then leaving us here all day. You'd never know what old beggar at the door for a crust with his long star. He might be a tramp and put his foot in the way to prevent me shutting it, like that picture of that hardened criminal he was called in Lloyd's Weekly News. 20 years in jail, then he comes out and murders an old woman for her money. Imagine his poor wife or mother or whoever she is. Such a face you'd run miles away from. I couldn't rest easy till I bolted all the doors and windows to make sure. But it's worse again being locked up, like in a prison or a madhouse. They ought to be all shot or the cat o' nine tails. A big brute like that, that would attack a poor old woman to murder her in her bed. I'd cut them off, and so I would. Not that he'd be much use. Still, better than nothing. The night I was sure I heard burglars in the kitchen, and he went down in his shirt with a candle and a poker, as if he was looking for a mouse, as white as a sheet, frightened out of his wits, making as much noise as he possibly could for the burglar's benefit. There isn't much to steal, indeed, the Lord knows. Still, it's the feeling, especially now with Millie away. Such an idea for him to send the girl down there to learn to take photographs on account of his grandfather, instead of sending her to Skerry's Academy where she'd have to learn. Not like me getting all ones at school. Only he'd do a thing like that, the same on account of me and Bylan. That's why he did it. I'm certain, the way he plots and plans everything out. I couldn't turn round with her in the place lately, unless I bolted the door first. Gave me the fidgets coming in without knocking first. When I put the chair against the door, just as I was washing myself there below with the glove. Get on your nerves, then doing the log lady all day. Put her in a glass case with two at a time to look at her if he knew she broke off the hand off that little gimcrack statue with a roughness and carelessness before she left, that I got that little Italian bite amend so that you can't see the join. For 2 shillings, wouldn't even team the potatoes for you. Of course, she's right not to ruin her hands. I noticed he was always talking to her lately at the table, explaining things in the paper, and she pretending to understand. Sly, of course. That comes from his side of the house. He can't say I pretend things, can he? I'm too honest, as a matter of fact, and helping her into her coat. But if there was anything wrong with her, it's me she'd tell, not him. I suppose he thinks I'm finished out and laid on the shelf. Well, I'm not, no, nor anything like it. We'll see, we'll see. Now she's well on for flirting, too, with Tom Devon's 2 sons, imitating me whistling, with those romps of Murray girls calling for her. Can Millie come out, please? She's in great demand to pick what they can out of her round in Nelson Street, riding Harry Devon's bicycle at night. It's as well he sent her where she is. She was just getting out of bounds, wanting to go on the skating rink and smoking their cigarettes through their nose. I smelt it off her dress when I was biting off the thread of the button I sewed on to the bottom of her jacket. She couldn't hide much from me, I tell you, only I oughtn't to have stitched it and it on her. It brings a parting, and the last plum pudding too, split in 2 halves. See, it comes out no matter what they say. Her tongue is a bit too long for my taste. Your blouse is open too low, she says to me, the pan calling the kettle black bottom, and I had to tell her not to cock her legs up like that on show on the windowsill before all the people passing. They all look at her like me when I was her age. Of course any old rag looks well on you. Then a great touch-me-not too in her own way, at the only way in the Theatre Royal. Take your foot away out of that. I hate people touching me. Afraid of her life, I'd crush her skirt with the pleats. A lot of that touching must go on in theatres in the crush in the dark. They're always trying to wiggle up to you. That fellow in the pit at the Gaiety for Beer Bum 3 in Trilby. The last time I'll ever go there to be squashed like that for any Trilby. Or her bare bum every 2 minutes, chipping me there and looking away. He's a bit daft. I think I saw him after trying to get near 2 stylish-dressed ladies outside Switzer's window at the same little game. I recognised him on the moment, the face and everything, but he didn't remember me. Yes, and she didn't even want me to kiss her at the Broadstone going away. Well, I hope she'll get someone to dance attendance on her the way I did when she was down with the mumps and her glands swollen. Where's this and where's that? Of course, she can't feel anything deep yet. I never came properly till I was, 22 or so. It went into the wrong place always. Only the usual girl's nonsense and giggling, that Connie Connolly writing to her in white ink on black paper, sealed with sealing wax, though she clapped when the curtain came down because he looked so handsome. Then we had Martin Harvey for breakfast, dinner and supper. I thought to myself afterwards, it must be real love if a man gives up his life for her that way, for nothing. I suppose there are a few men like that left. It's hard to believe in it, though, unless it really happened to me. The majority of them with not a particle of love in their natures. To find two people like that nowadays full up of each other, that would feel the same way as you do. They're usually a bit foolish in the head. His father must have been a bit queer to go and poison himself after her. Still, poor old man, I suppose he felt lost. She's always making love to my things, too. The few old rags I have, wanting to put her hair up at once. My powder, too, only ruin her skin on her. She's time enough for that, all her life after. Of course she's restless, knowing she's pretty, with her lips so red. A pity they won't stay that way. I was, too, but there's no use going to the fair with the thing. Answering me like a fishwoman when I asked to go for half a stone of potatoes the day we met Mrs. Joe Gallagher at the trotting matches, and she pretended not to see us in her trap with Frary the solicitor. We weren't grand enough till I gave her two damn fine cracks across the ear for herself. Take that now for answering me like that, and that for your impudence. She had me that exasperated, of course, contradicting. I was bad-tempered, too, because how was it there was a weed in the tea? Or I didn't sleep the night before. Cheese I ate, was it? And I told her over and over again not to leave knives crossed like that, because she has nobody to command her, as she said herself. Well, if he doesn't correct her, faith I will. That was the last time she turned on the tear tap. I was just like that myself. They daren't order me about the place. It's his fault, of course, having the two of us slaving here instead of getting in a woman long ago. Am I ever going to have a proper servant again? Of course, then she'd see him coming. I'd have to let her know, or she'd revenge it. Aren't they a nuisance? That old Mrs. Fleming, you have to be walking round after her, putting the things into her hands, sneezing and farting into the pots. Well, of course, she's old. She can't help it. It's a good job I found that rotten old smelly dishcloth that got lost behind the dresser. I knew there was something, and opened the area window to let out the smell, bringing in his friends to entertain them, like the night he walked home with a dog, if you please, that might have been mad, especially Simon Dedalus' son. His father, such a criticiser, with his glasses up, with his tall hat on him at the cricket match, and the great big hole in his sock. One thing laughing at the other, and his son that got all those prizes for whatever. He won them in the intermediate. Imagine climbing over the railings. If anybody saw him that knew us, I wonder he didn't tear a big hole in his grand funeral trousers, as if the one nature gave wasn't enough for anybody, hawking him down into the dirty old kitchen. Now, is he right in his head, I ask? Pity it wasn't washing day. My old pair of drawers might have been hanging up too on the line, on exhibition, for all he'd ever care. With the iron mould mark the stupid old bundle burnt on them, he might think was something else. And she never even rendered down the fat, I told her. And now she's going, such as she was, on account of her paralysed husband getting worse. There's always something wrong with them. Disease, or they have to go under an operation, or if it's not that, it's drink, and he beats her. I'll have to hunt around again for someone. Every day I get up, there's some new thing on. Sweet God, sweet God, well, when I'm stretched out dead in my grave, I suppose I'll have some peace. I want to get up a minute. If I'm let wait, oh, Jesus, wait, yes, that thing has come on me, yes. Now, wouldn't that afflict you? Of course, all the poking and rooting and ploughing he had up in me. Now, what am I to do? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, wouldn't that pester the soul out of a body? Unless he likes it, some men do. God knows there's always something wrong with us. 5 days every 3 or 4 weeks, usual monthly auction. Isn't it simply sickening? That night, it came on me like that. The one and only time we were in a box that Michael Gunn gave him to see Mrs. Kendall and her husband at the Gaiety, something he did about insurance for him in Drimmies. I was fit to be tied, though I wouldn't give in with that gentleman of fashion staring down at me with his glasses, and him the other side of me talking about Spinoza and his soul that's dead, I suppose, millions of years ago. I smiled the best I could, all in a swamp, leaning forward as if I was interested, having to sit it out. Then, to the last tag, I won't forget that wife of Scarley in a hurry. Supposed to be a fast play about adultery. That idiot in the gallery hissing the woman adulteress. He shouted. I suppose he went and had a woman in the next lane, running round all the back ways after to make up for it. I wish he had what I had, then he'd boo, I bet. The cat itself is better off than us. Have we too much blood up in us, or what? Oh, patience above, it's pouring out of me like the sea. Anyhow, he didn't make me pregnant, as big as he is. I don't want to ruin the clean sheets I just put on. I suppose the clean linen I wore brought it on too. Damn it, damn it! And they always want to see a stain on the bed to know you're a virgin for them. Ah, oh, that's troubling them. They're such fools, too. You could be a widow or divorced 40 times over. A daub of red ink would do, or blackberry juice. No, that's too purply. Oh, Jamesy, let me up out of this poo! Sweets of sin, whoever suggested that business for women, what between clothes and cooking and children, this damned old bed too jingling like the dickens. I suppose they could hear us away over the other side of the park, till I suggested to put the quilt on the floor with the pillow under my bottom. I wonder, is it nicer in the day? I think it is, easy. I think I'll cut all this hair off me there, scalding me. I might look like a young girl. Wouldn't he get the great sock in the next time he turned up my clothes on me? I'd give anything to see his face. Where's the chamber gone? Easy. I've a holy horror of its breaking under me after that old commode. I wonder, was I too heavy sitting on his knee? I made him sit on the easy chair purposely, when I took off only my blouse and skirt first in the other room. He was so busy where he oughtn't to be. He never felt me. I hope my breath was sweet after those kissing comfits. Easy. God, I remember one time I could scout it out straight, whistling like a man almost. Easy. Oh, Lord, how noisy. I hope they're bubbles on it for a wad of money from some fella. I'll have to perfume it in the morning, don't forget. I bet he never saw a better pair of thighs than that. Look how white they are. The smoothest place is right there, between this bit here. How soft, like a peach. Is he? God, I wouldn't mind being a man and get up on a lovely woman. Oh, Lord, what a row you're making, like the Jersey lily. Easy, easy. Oh, how the waters come down at Lahore. Who knows, is there anything the matter with my insides? Or have I something growing in me? Getting a thing like that every week. When was it? Last one. Whit Monday, yes. It's only about 3 weeks. I ought to go to the doctor. Only it would be like before I married him, when I had that white thing coming from me. And Flowey made me go to that dry-out stick Dr. Collins for women's diseases on Pembroke Road. Your vagina, he called it. I suppose that's how he got all the gilt mirrors and carpets, getting round those rich ones off Stephen's Green, running up to him for every little fiddle-faddle, her vagina and her coach in China. They've money, of course, so they're all right. I wouldn't marry him, not if he was the last man in the world. Besides, there's something queer about their children, always smelling around those filthy bitches. All sides asking me if what I did had an offensive odour. What did he want me to do but the one thing? Gold, maybe? What a question! If I smothered it all over his wrinkly old face for him with all my compliments, I suppose he'd know then, and could you pass it easily? Pass what, I thought. He was talking about the Rock of Gibraltar, the way he put it. It's a very nice invention, too, by the way. Only I like letting myself down after, in the hole, as far as I can squeeze, and pull the chain then to flush it. Nice cool pins and needles. Still, there's something in it, I suppose. I always used to know by Millie's when she was a child whether she had worms or not. Still, all the same, paying him for that. How much is that, doctor? 1 guinea, please. And asking me had I frequent omissions. Where did those old fellas get all the words they have? Omissions. With his short-sighted eyes on me cocked sideways, I wouldn't trust him too far to give me chloroform or God knows what else. Still, I liked him. When he sat down to write the thing out, frowning so severe, his nose, intelligent, like that. You'd be damned, you lion strap. Oh, anything, no matter who, except an idiot. He was clever enough to spot that, of course. That was all thinking of him and his mad, crazy letters. My precious one, everything connected with your glorious body, everything underlined. That comes from, it is a thing of beauty and of joy forever. Something he got out of some nonsensical book that he had me always at myself, 4 and 5 times a day sometimes. And I said I hadn't. Are you sure? Oh, yes, I said. I am quite sure, in a way that shut him up. I knew what was coming next. Only natural weakness it was. He excited me. I don't know how. The first night ever we met, when I was living in Rehoboth Terrace, we stood staring at one another for about 10 minutes, as if we met somewhere, I suppose on account of my being Jewish, looking after my mother. He used to amuse me, the things he said with the half-sluthering smile on him, and all the dials said he was going to stand for a Member of Parliament. Oh, wasn't I the born fool to believe all his blather about Home Rule and the Land League, sending me that long strool of a song out of the Huguenots to sing in French to be more classy, Au Beau Pays de la Touraine, that I never even sang once, explaining and rigmaroling about religion and persecution. He won't let you enjoy anything. Naturally, then, might he, as a great favour, the very first opportunity, he got a chance in Brighton Square, running into my bedroom, pretending the ink got on his hands, to wash it off with the Albion milk and sulphur soap I used to use, and the gelatin still round it. Oh, I laughed myself sick at him that day. I better not make an all-night sitting on this affair. They ought to make chambers a natural size so that a woman could sit on it properly. He kneels down to do it, I suppose. There isn't in all creation another man with the habits he has. Look at the way he's sleeping at the foot of the bed. How can he without a hard bolster? It's well he doesn't kick or he might knock out all my teeth. Breathing with his hand on his nose, like that Indian god he took me to show one wet Sunday in the museum in Kildare Street, all yellow, in a pinafore, lying on his side on his hand, with his 10 toes sticking out, that he said was a bigger religion than the Jews and our lords both put together, all over Asia, imitating him as he's always imitating everybody. I suppose he used to sleep at the foot of the bed too, with his big square feet up in his wife's mouth. Damn this stinking thing anyway. Where's this those napkins are? Ah, yes, I know. I hope the old press doesn't creak. Ah, I knew it would. He's sleeping hard, had a good time somewhere. Still, she must have given him great value for his money. Of course, he has to pay for it from her. Oh, this nuisance of a thing. I hope they'll have something better for us in the other world. Tying ourselves up, God help us. That's all right for tonight. Now, the lumpy old jingly bed always reminds me of old Cohen. I suppose he scratched himself in it often enough, and he thinks Father bought it from Lord Napier that I used to admire when I was a little girl, because I told him, easy piano. Oh, I like my bed. God, here we are, as bad as ever after 16 years. How many houses were we in at all? Raymond Terrace and Ontario Terrace and Lombard Street and Hollis Street, and he goes about whistling every time we're on the run again. His Huguenots are the Frog's March, pretending to help the men with our 4 sticks of furniture. And then the City Arms Hotel. Worse and worse, says Warden Daly. That charming place on the landing. Always somebody inside, praying, then leaving all their stinks after them. Always know who was in there last. Every time we're just getting on right, something happens or he puts his big foot in it. Thomas and Healy's and Mr. Cuff's and the Rimmies. Either he's going to be run into prison over his old lottery tickets, that was to be all our salvations, or he goes and gives impudence. We'll have him coming home with the sack sewn out of the Freeman too, like the rest, on account of those Sinner Fein or the Freemasons. Then we'll see if the little man he showed me dribbling along in the wet all by himself round by Cody's Lane will give him much consolation that he says is so capable and sincerely Irish. He is indeed, judging by the sincerity of the trousers I saw on him. Wait, there's George's church bells. Wait, 3 quarters the hour, 1. Wait, 2 o'clock. But that's a nice hour of the night for him to be coming home at to anybody, climbing down into the area. If anybody saw him, I'll knock him off that little habit tomorrow. First, I'll look at his shirt to see, or I'll see if he has that French letter still in his pocketbook. I suppose he thinks I don't know. Deceitful men, all their 20 pockets aren't enough for their lies. Then why should we tell them, even if it's the truth? They don't believe you. Then tucked up in bed like those babies in the aristocrat's masterpiece he brought me another time, as if we hadn't enough of that in real life, without some old aristocrat, or whatever his name is, disgusting you more with those rotten pictures. Children with two heads and no legs, that's the kind of villainy they're always dreaming about, with not another thing in their empty heads. They ought to get slow poison, the half of them. Then tea and toast for 'em, buttered on both sides, and new-laid eggs. I suppose I'm nothing any more, when I wouldn't let him lick me in Holly Street one night. Man, man, tyrant as ever for the one thing. He slept on the floor half the night naked the way the Jews used, when somebody dies belonged to them, and wouldn't eat any breakfast or speak a word, wanting to be petted. So I thought I stood out enough for one time and let him. He does it all wrong, too, thinking only of his own pleasure. His tongue is too flat, or I don't know what. He forgets that we then, I don't. I'll make him do it again if he doesn't mind himself, and lock him down to sleep in the coal cellar with the black beetles. I wonder, was it her, Josie off her head, with my cast-offs? He's such a born liar, too. No, he'd never have the courage with a married woman. That's why he wants me in Bylan, though, as for her Dennis, as she calls him, that forlorn-looking spectacle. You couldn't call him a husband. Yes, it's some little bitch he's got in with, even when I was with him with Millie at the college races. That hornblower with the child's bonnet on the top of his knob. Let us enter by the back way. He was throwing his sheep's eyes at those two doing skirt duty up and down. I tried to wink at him first. No use, of course. And that's the way his money goes. This is the fruits of Mr. Paddy Dynam. Yes, they were all in great style at the grand funeral in the paper Boylan brought in. If they saw a real officer's funeral, that'd be something. Reversed arms, muffled drums, the poor horse walking behind in black. El Boom and Tom Kernan, that drunken little barley man that bit his tongue off falling down the men's WC, drunk in some place or other, and Martin Cunningham, and the two Dedaluses, and Fanny Mackay's husband, white head of cabbage, skinny thing with a turn in her eye, trying to sing my songs. She'd want to be born all over again, and her old green dress with the low neck as she can't attract them any other way, like dabbling on a rainy day. I see it all now plainly, and they call that friendship killing, and then burying one another, and they all with their wives and families at home, more especially Jack Power, keeping that barmaid he does, of course. His wife is always sick or going to be sick or just getting better of it, and he's a good-looking man still, though he's getting a bit grey over the ears. They're a nice lot, all of them. Well, they're not going to get my husband again into their clutches if I can help it, making fun of him then behind his back. I know well when he goes on with his idiotics, because he has sense enough not to squander every penny piece he earns down their gullets and looks after his wife and family. Good-for-nothings, poor Paddy Dynam. All the same, I'm sorry in a way for him, but what are his wife and five children going to do, unless he was insured? Comic little teetotum, always stuck up in some pub corner, and her or her son waiting. Bill Bailey, won't you please come home? Her widow's weeds won't improve her appearance. They're awfully becoming, though, if you're good-looking. What, men? Wasn't he? Yes, he was. At the Glen Cree dinner and Ben Dollard bass barrel tone, the night he borrowed the swallowtail to sing out of in Hollis Street, squeezed and squashed into them and grinning all over his big dolly face like a well-bipped child's body. Didn't he look like a barmy bollocks, sure enough? That must have been a spectacle on the stage. Imagine paying 5 shillings in the preserved seats for that, to see him trotting off in his trowlers, and Simon Dedalus too. He was always turning up half-screwed, singing the second verse first. The old Love is the New was one of his. So sweetly sang the maiden on the hawthorn bough. He was always on for flirt-defying too. When I sang Maritana with him at Freddie Mayer's private opera, he had a delicious, glorious voice. Phoebe, dearest, goodbye, sweetheart, sweetheart. He always sang it, not like Bartell Darcy. Sweet, tart, goodbye. Of course, he had the gift of the voice, so there was no art in it. All over you like a warm shower bath. Oh, Maritana, wildwood flower, we sang splendidly, though it was a bit too high for my register, even transposed, and he was married at the time to May Goulding, but then he'd say or do something to knock the good out of it. He's a widower now. I wonder what sort is his son. He says he's an author and going to be a university professor of Italian, and I'm to take lessons. What is he driving at now, showing him my photo? It's not good of me. I ought to have got it taken in drapery that never looks out of fashion. Still, I look young in it. I wonder he didn't make him a present of it altogether, and me too. After all, why not? I saw him driving down to the Kingsbridge station with his father and mother. I was in mourning. That's 11 years ago now. Yes. He'd be 11, though what was the good in going into mourning for what was neither one thing nor the other? The first cry was enough for me. I heard the death watch, too, ticking in the wall. Of course he insisted he'd go into mourning for the cat. I suppose he's a man now, by this time. He was an innocent boy then, and a darling little fellow in his Lord Fauntleroy suit and curly hair, like a prince on the stage when I saw him at Matt Dillon's. He liked me, too. I remember. They all do. Wait, by God, yes, wait, yes, hold on. He was on the cards this morning when I laid out the deck. Union with a young stranger, neither dark nor fair, you met before. I thought it meant him, but he's no chicken, nor a stranger either. Besides, my face was turned the other way. What was the 7th card after that? The 10 of spades, for a journey by land. Then there was a letter on its way, and scandals too. The 3 queens and the 8 of diamonds for a rise in society. Yes, wait, it all came out. And 2 red 8s for new garments. Look at that. And didn't I dream something too? Yes, there was something about poetry in it. I hope he hasn't long greasy hair hanging into his eyes or standing up like a red Indian. What did they go about like that for? Only getting themselves and their poetry laughed at. I always liked poetry when I was a girl. First, I thought he was a poet like Lord Byron and not an ounce of it in his composition. I thought he was quite different. I wonder, is he too young? He's about, wait, I was married. Millie is 15 yesterday. What age was he then at Dillon's? 5 or 6 about. I suppose he's 20 or more. I'm not too old for him if he's 23 or 24. I hope he's not that stuck-up university student sort. No, otherwise he wouldn't go sitting down in the old kitchen with him taking Epps's cocoa and talking. Of course, he pretended to understand it all. Probably he told him he was out of Trinity College. He's very young to be a professor. I hope he's not a professor like Goodwin was. He was a potent professor of John Jameson. They all write about some woman in their poetry. Well, I suppose he won't find many like me. Where softly sighs of love the light guitar, where poetry is in the air, the blue sea and the moon shining so beautifully coming back on the night boat from Tarifa, the lighthouse at Europa Point, the guitar that fellow played was so expressive. Will I ever go back there again? All new faces, 2 glancing eyes, a lattice hid. I'll sing that for him. They're my eyes, if he's anything of a poet. 2 eyes as darkly bright as love's own star. Aren't those beautiful words? As love's young star. It'll be a change, the Lord knows, to have an intelligent person to talk to about yourself, not always listening to him and Billy Prescott's ad and Keyes's ad and Tom the Devil's ad. Then if anything goes wrong in their business, we have to suffer. I'm sure he's very distinguished. I'd like to meet a man like that. God, not those other rook. Besides, he's young. Those fine young men I could see down in Margate Strand bathing place from the side of the rock, standing up in the sun, naked like a god or something, and then plunging into the sea with them. Why aren't all men like that? There'd be some consolation for a woman, like that lovely little statue he bought. I could look at him all day long, curly head and his shoulders, his finger up for you to listen. There's real beauty and poetry for you. I often felt I wanted to kiss him all over. Also his lovely young cock there, so simple. I wouldn't mind taking him in my mouth if nobody was looking, as if it was asking you to suck it. So clean and white he looks with his boyish face. I would too in half a minute, even if some of it went down. What, it's only like gruel or the dew, there's no danger. Besides, he'd be so clean compared with those pigs of men, I suppose, never dream of washing it from one year's end to the other, the most of them. Only that's what gives the women the moustaches. I'm sure it'll be grand if I can only get in with a handsome young poet at my age. I'll throw them the first thing in the morning till I see if the wish card comes out, or I'll try pairing the lady herself and see if he comes out. I'll read and study all I can, find or learn a bit off by heart. If I knew who he likes, so he won't think me stupid if he thinks all women are the same, and I can teach him the other part, I'll make him feel all over him till he half faints under me. Then he'll write about me, lover and mistress, publicly too, with our two photographs in all the papers when he becomes famous. Oh, but then what am I going to do about him, though? No, that's no way for him. Has he no manners, nor no refinement, nor no nothing in his nature? Slapping us behind like that on my bottom, because I didn't call him Hugh, the ignoramus, that doesn't know poetry from a cabbage. That's what you get for not keeping them in their proper place, pulling off his shoes and trousers there on the chair before me, so barefaced, without even asking permission, and standing out that vulgar way in the half of a shirt they wear, to be admired like a priest or a butcher, or those old hypocrites in the time of Julius Caesar. Of course, he's right enough in his way to pass the time as a joke. Sure, you might as well be in bed with what? With a lion. God, I'm sure he'd have something better to say for himself, an old lion would. Oh, well, I suppose it's because they were so plump and tempting in my short petticoat he couldn't resist. They excite myself sometimes. It's well for men. All the amount of pleasure they get off a woman's body were so round and white for them. Always I wished I was one myself for a change, just to try with that thing they have swelling up on you so hard, and at the same time so soft when you touch it. My Uncle John has a thing long, I heard those corner boys saying, passing the corner of Marrowbone Lane. My Aunt Mary has a thing hairy, because it was dark and they knew a girl was passing. It didn't make me blush. Why should it either? It's only nature, and he puts his thing long into my Aunt Mary's hairy, etc., and turns out to be you put the handle in a sweeping brush. Men again all over, they can pick and choose what they please. A married woman or a fast widow or a girl for their different tastes, like those houses round behind Irish Street. No, but we're to be always chained up. They're not going to be chaining me up. No damn fear. Once I start, I tell you, for their stupid husband's jealousy, why can't we all remain friends over it instead of quarrelling? Her husband found it out, what they did together. Well, naturally, and if he did, can he undo it? He's Coronado anyway, whatever he does. And then he go on to the other mad extreme about the wife in Fair Tidance. Of course the man never even casts a second thought on the husband or wife either. It's the woman he wants, and he gets her. What else were we given all those desires for, I'd like to know? I can't help it if I'm young still, can I? It's a wonder I'm not an old shrivelled hag before my time, living with him so cold, never embracing me except sometimes when he's asleep, the wrong end of me, not knowing, I suppose, who he has. Any man that'd kiss a woman's bottom, I'd throw my hat at him after that. He'd kiss anything unnatural, where we haven't one atom of any kind of expression in us. All of us the same, two lumps of lard, before ever I do that to a man. Phew, the dirty brutes, the mere thought is enough. I kiss the feet of you, Signorita, there's some sense in that. Didn't he kiss our hall door? Yes, he did. What a madman. Nobody understands his cracked ideas but me. Still, of course, a woman wants to be embraced 20 times a day almost, to make her look young, no matter by who, so long as to be in love or loved by somebody, if the fella you want isn't there sometimes. By the Lord God, I was thinking, would I go around by the quays there some dark evening where nobody'd know me and pick up a sailor off the sea? That'd be hot on for it, and not care a pin whose I was, only do it off up in a gate somewhere. Or one of those wild-looking gypsies in Rathfarnham had their camp pitched near the Bloomfield Laundry to try and steal our things if they could. I only sent mine there a few times for the name Model Laundry, sending me back over and over some old ones, old stockings, that blackguard-looking fella with the fine eyes peeling a switch, attack me in the dark and ride me up against the wall without a word, or a mother. Anybody, what they do themselves, the fine gentlemen in their silk hats. That K.C. lives up somewhere this way, coming out of Hardwick Lane that night. He gave us the fish supper on account of winning over the boxing match. Of course it was for me he gave it. I knew him by his gaiters and the walk. And when I turned round a minute after just to see, there was a woman after coming out of it too, some filthy prostitute. Then he goes home to his wife after that. Only I suppose the half of those sailors are rotten again with disease. Oh, move over, you big carcass out of that, for the love of Mike. Listen to him, the winds that waft my sighs to thee, so well he may sleep and sigh the great suggester Don Poldo de la Flora. If he knew how he came out on the cards this morning, he'd have something to cipher, a dark man in some perplexity between two sevens, two, in prison for Lord knows what he does, that I don't know, and I'm to be slouching around down in the kitchen to get his lordship his breakfast while he's rolled up like a mummy. Will I indeed? Did you ever see me running? I'd just like to see myself at it. Show them attention and they treat you like dirt. I don't care what anybody says. It'd be much better for the world to be governed by the women in it. You wouldn't see women going and killing one another and slaughtering. When do you ever see women rolling around drunk like they do, or gambling every penny they have and losing it on horses? Yes, because a woman, whatever she does, she knows where to stop. Sure, they wouldn't be in the world at all only for us. They don't know what it is to be a woman and a mother. How could they? Where would they, all of them, be if they hadn't all a mother to look after them? What I never had. That's why I suppose he's running wild now, out at night, away from his books and studies, and not living at home on account of the usual rowy house, I suppose. Well, it's a poor case that those that have a fine son like that, they're not satisfied, and I none. Was he not able to make one? It wasn't my fault. We came together when I was watching the two dogs up in her behind in the middle of the naked street that disheartened me altogether. I suppose I oughtn't to have buried him in that little woolly jacket I knitted, crying as I was, but give it to some poor child. But I knew well I'd never have another. Our first death, too, it was. We were never the same since. Oh, I'm not going to think myself into the glooms about that any more. I wonder why he wouldn't stay the night. I felt all the time it was somebody strange he brought in, instead of roving around the city meeting God knows who, night walkers and pickpockets. His poor mother wouldn't like that if she was alive. Ruining himself for life, perhaps. Still, it's a lovely hour, so silent. I used to love coming home after dances, the air of the night. They have friends they can talk to. We've none. Either he wants what he won't get, or it's some woman ready to stick her knife in you. I hate that in women. No wonder they treat us the way they do. We are a dreadful lot of bitches. I suppose it's all the troubles we have makes us so snappy. I'm not like that. He could easy have slept in there on the sofa in the other room. I suppose he was as shy as a boy, he being so young, hardly 20, of me in the next room. He'd have heard me on the chamber, arrow what harm. Deadless. I wonder, it's like those names in Gibraltar, De La Paz, De La Gracia. They had the divil's queer names there. Father Villaplana of Santa Maria that gave me the rosary, Rosales y O'Reilly in the Calle La Siete. De Revueltas, and Pisimbo, and Mrs. Opisso in Governor Street. Oh, what a name! I'd go and drown myself in the first river if I had a name like her. Oh, my, and all the bits of streets, Paradise Ramp, and Bedlam Ramp, and Rogers Ramp, and Crotchet's Ramp, and the Divil's Gap Steps. Well, small blame to me if I am a harum scarum. I know I am a bit. I declare to God I don't feel a day older than then. I wonder could I get my tongue round any of the Spanish. ¿Cómo está usted? Muy bien, gracias. ¿Y usted? See, I haven't forgotten it all. I thought I had, only for the grammar. A noun is the name of any person, place, or thing. Pity I never tried to read that novel Cantankerous Mrs. Rubio lent me by Valera, with the questions in it, all upside down the two ways. I always knew we'd go away in the end. I can tell him the Spanish, and he tell me the Italian, then he'll see I'm not so ignorant. What a pity he didn't stay. I'm sure the poor fellow was dead tired and wanted a good sleep badly. I could have brought him in his breakfast in bed with a bit of toast, so long as I didn't do it on the knife for bad luck. Or if the woman was going her rounds with the watercress and something nice and tasty, there are a few olives in the kitchen he might like. I never could bear the look of them in our brines. I could do the criada. The room looks all right since I changed it the other way. You see, something was telling me all the time I'd have to introduce myself, not knowing me from Adam. Very funny, wouldn't it? I'm his wife, or pretend we were in Spain with him half awake without a God's notion where he is. Dos huevos estrellados, señor. Lord, the cracked things come into my head sometimes. It would be great fun. Supposing he stayed with us, why not? There's the room upstairs empty and Millie's bed in the back room. He could do his writing and studies at the table in there for all the scribbling he does at it. And if he wants to read in bed in the morning, like me, as he's making the breakfast for one, he can make it for two. I'm sure I'm not going to take in lodgers off the street for him if he takes a gazabo of a house like this. I'd love to have a long talk with an intelligent, well-educated person. I'd have to get a nice pair of red slippers like those Turks with the fez used to sell, or yellow, and a nice semi-transparent morning gown that I badly want, or a peach blossom dressing jacket, like the one long ago in Walpole's. Only 8 shillings and 6pence, or 18 shillings and 6pence. I'll just give him one more chance. I'll get up early in the morning. I'm sick of Cohen's old bed in any case. I might go over to the markets to see how the vegetables and cabbages and tomatoes and carrots and all kinds of splendid fruits all coming in lovely and fresh. Who knows who'd be the first man I'd meet? They're out looking for it in the morning, Mammy Dillon used to say. They are. And the night, too. That was her mass going. I'd love a big juicy pear now to melt in your mouth, like when I used to be in the longing way. Then I'd throw him up as eggs and tea in the moustache cup she gave him to make his mouth bigger, I suppose. He'd like my nice cream, too. I know what I'll do. I'll go about rather gay. Not too much singing. A bit now and then. Mi fa pieta massetto. Then I'll start dressing myself to go out. Presto non son più forte. I'll put on my best shift and drawers. Let him have a good eyeful out of that to make his Mickey stand for him. I'll let him know if that's what he wanted, that his wife is one slow fucked. Yes, and damn well fucked, too, up to my neck. Nearly not by him, 5 or 6 times, hand running. There is the mark of his spunk on the clean sheet. I wouldn't bother to even iron it out. That ought to satisfy him. If you don't believe me, feel my belly, unless I made him stand there and put him into me. I've a mind to tell him every scrap and make him do it out in front of me. Serve him right. It's all his own fault if I am an adulteress, as the thing in the gallery said. Oh, much about it, if that's all the harm ever we did in this vale of tears. God knows it's not much. Doesn't everybody, only they hide it. I suppose that's what a woman is supposed to be there for, or he wouldn't have made us the way he did, so attractive to men. Then if he wants to kiss my bottom, I'll drag open my drawers and bulge it right out on his face as large as life. He can stick his tongue 7 miles up my hole as he's there, my brown part. Then I'll tell him I want a pound, or perhaps 30 shillings. I'll tell him I want to buy underclothes. Then if he gives me that, well, he won't be too bad. I don't want to soak it all out of him like other women do. I could often have written out a fine cheque for myself and write his name on it for a couple of pounds a few times he forgot to lock it up. Besides, he won't spend it. I'll let him do it off on me behind, provided he doesn't smear all my good drawers. Oh, I suppose that can't be helped. I'll do the indifferent one or two questions. I'll know by the answers. When he's like that, he can't keep a thing back. I know every turn in him. I'll tighten my bottom well and let out a few smutty words. Smell rump or lick my shit. Or the first mad thing comes into my head. Then I'll suggest about... Yes. Oh, wait now. Sonny, my turn is coming. I'll be quite gay and friendly over it. Oh, but I was forgetting this bloody pest of a thing. Oh, you wouldn't know which, to laugh or cry, were such a mixture of plum and apple. No, I'll have to wear the old things. So much the better. It'll be more pointed. He'll never know whether he did it or not. There, that's good enough for you. Any old thing at all, then I'll wipe him off me, just like a business. His omission. Then I'll go out, I'll have him iron up at the ceiling. Where is she gone now? Make him want me. That's the only way, a quarter after what an unearthly hour. I suppose they're just getting up in China now, combing out their pigtails for the day. We'll soon have the nuns ringing the Angelus. They've nobody coming in to spoil their sleep, except an odd priest or two for his night office, or the alarm clock next door, its cock-shout clattering the brains out of itself. Let me see if I can doze off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What kind of flowers are those they invented, like the stars? The wallpaper in Lombard Street was much nicer. The apron he gave me was like that something, only I only wore it twice. Better lower this lamp and try again so as I can get up early. I'll go to Lamb's there beside Findlater's and get them to send us some flowers to put about the place in case he brings him home tomorrow. Today, I mean. No, Friday's an unlucky day. First, I want to do the place up some way. The dust grows in it, I think, while I'm asleep. Then we can have music and cigarettes. I can accompany him. First, I must clean the keys of the piano with milk. What'll I wear? Shall I wear a white rose or those fairy cakes in Lipton's? I love the smell of a rich big shop at 7d/2d a pound, or the other ones with the cherries in them, and the pinky sugar one. I'd a couple of pounds of those. A nice plant for the middle of the table. I'd get that cheaper in. Wait, where's this? I saw them not long ago. I love flowers. I'd love to have the whole place swimming in roses. God of heaven, there's nothing like nature. The wild mountains, then the sea and the waves rushing, then the beautiful country with the fields of oats and wheat and all kinds of things, and all the fine cattle going about that would do your heart good to see. Rivers and lakes and flowers, all sorts of shapes and smells and colours springing up, even out of the ditches, primroses and violets. Nature it is. As for them, and there's no God, I wouldn't give a snap of my two fingers for all their learning. Why don't they go and create something? I often asked him. Atheists, or whatever they call themselves, go and wash the cobbles off themselves first. Then they go howling for the priest, and they dying. And why? Why? Because they're afraid of hell on account of their bad conscience, eh? Yes, I know them. Well, who was the first person in the universe before there was anybody that made it all? Who? Ah, that they don't know. Neither do I. So there you are. They might as well try to stop the sun from rising tomorrow. The sun shines for you, he said, the day we were lying among the rhododendrons on Howth Head, in the grey tweed suit and his straw hat, the day I got him to propose to me. Yes, first I gave him the bit of seed cake out of my mouth, and it was leap year, like now. Yes, 16 years ago. My God, after that long kiss I near lost my breath. Yes, he said, I was a flower of the mountain. Yes, so we are flowers all. A woman's body, yes, that was one true thing he said in his life, and the sun shines for you today, yes. That was why I liked him, because I saw he understood or felt what a woman is, and I knew I could always get round him. And I gave him all the pleasure I could, leading him on till he asked me to say yes, and I wouldn't answer first, only looked out over the sea and the sky. I was thinking of so many things he didn't know, of Mulvey and Mr. Stanhope and Hester and Father and old Captain Groves, and the sailors playing, all birds fly, and I say stoop, and washing up dishes, they call it on the pier, and the sentry in front of the governor's house with the thing round his white helmet, poor devil, half roasted, and the Spanish girls laughing in their shawls and their tall combs, and the auctions in the morning, the Greeks and the Jews and the Arabs and the devil knows who else from all the ends of Europe, and Duke Street and the foul market all clucking outside Larrabee Shannon's, and the poor donkeys slipping half asleep, and the vague fellas in the cloaks asleep in the shade on the steps, and the big wheels of the carts of the bulls, and the old castle, thousands of years old, yes, and those handsome Moors all in white and turbans like kings, asking you to sit down in their little bit of a shop, and Rhonda with the old windows of the posadas, two glancing eyes, a lattice hid for her lover to kiss the iron, and the wine shops half open at night, and the castanets, and the night we missed the boat at Algeciras, the watchman going about serene with his lamp, and oh, that awful deep down torrent, oh, and the sea crimson sometimes like fire, and the glorious sunsets, and the fig trees in the Alameda gardens, yes, and all the queer little streets in the pink and blue and yellow houses, and the rose gardens, and the jessamine, and geraniums, and cactuses, and Gibraltar, as a girl where I was, a flower of the mountain, yes, when I put the rose in my hair, like the Andalusian girls used, or shall I wear a red, yes, and how he kissed me under the Moorish wall, and I thought, well, as well him as another, and then I asked him with my eyes to ask again, yes, and then he asked me, would I, yes, to say yes, my mountain flower, and first I put my arms around him, yes, and drew him down to me so he could feel my breasts all perfume, yes, and his heart was going like mad, and yes, I said, yes, I will, yes.
Trieste, Zurich, Paris, 1914. To 1921. This concludes the reading of Ulysses by James Joyce, originally published in Paris in 1922. This book was read by John Lee. This unabridged recording was produced in 2010 by Blackstone Audio, Inc., which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc. If you would like to obtain a complete catalogue of our titles, or our monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. Or visit our website at www.blackstoneaudio.com. Thank you.